ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. పూర్ణమదః పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. కఠోపనిషత్ సెక్షన్ 1 చాప్టర్ 3 శ్లోక 15. అశబ్దమస్పర్శమరూపమవ్యయం తథారసం నిత్యమగంధవచ్చయత్ అనాద్యనంతం మహత పరాధ్రువం నిచాయతన్ మృత్యుముఖాత్ ప్రముచ్యతే. దిస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ శ్లోకాస్ ఇన్ కఠోపనిషత్. దిస్ ఈస్ అనదర్ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ మంత్ర, మేబీ వన్ ఆఫ్ ది మోస్ట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ మంత్రాస్ ఇన్ ది ఎంటైర్ కఠోపనిషత్, వై ఈవెన్ ది ఎంటైర్ ఉపనిషదిక్ లోర్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్. In this, Yamadharmaraja, he gives the definition of Brahman or Atma. So wherever Brahman or the Atma definition comes, they are all worth noting and if possible, even worth memorizing. Very similar to the Mundaka Upanishad shloka, where it says, Yattat adreshyam agrahyam agotram avarnam achakshuhu shrotram tatpani padam. Very similar to that shloka. What is the nature of Brahman? And here the definition is given to show how the Brahman cannot be objectified. That is the important thing. So if you look at the Brahman experience, look for a Brahman experience anytime, you are looking for what? You are looking for objectification of Brahman. So the more you ask for Brahma Anubhava, Brahma experience, the more your tendency of objectification. So the more you tend to do that, more will be the failure. Because Brahman happens to be what? Ashabdam, Asparsham, Arupam. The three words from the first line. And arasam agandavate. So these five words, they will all will take together, which mean what? Brahman is free from the five properties of sound. Is ashabdam, no sound. Asparsham, sparsham is touch, no touch, asparsham. Rupam is form, is arupam, no form. Rasam is taste, it is arasam, no taste. And gandham is smell, agandavathe, no smell. Which means what? Brahman is not available for sensory perception at all. So, Brahma darshanam is not at all possible. And then, anadi, anantam, and avyayam. Anadi, anadi means without any beginning, without any birth. It is anantam, without death also, there is no end. And it is avyayam. Without the intermediary modifications like growth, metamorphosis and decay, that is vardate, jayate, vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyati, all those sixfold modifications are not there. In short, if you join all these three words, it will mean what? Shat vikara rahitam. Shat vikara means the sixfold modifications, jayate, ardate, vardate, viparinamate, the one which we mentioned many times in Tattva Bodha. So all these sixfold modifications are not there for Brahman. So, potential existence, birth, growth, transformation, decay, death, all those things are not there for Brahman. So, therefore only Dhruvam. Dhruvam means absolute. Desha Kala Atitam, the one beyond space and time. And this Nityam, Nityam is eternal because it is free from time-wise limitation. And such a Brahman is eternal, and such a Brahman one has to know. And whatever we see outside, that has sabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha, they all have these properties. Because whatever we see, the five sense organs can perceive them. And all the five sense organs will reveal what? Only those fivefold properties. It will not reveal anything more than that. And if the fivefold properties are not there, the sense organs cannot objectify anything. Which means the entire external world is not Brahman. That's what we are trying to conclude now. The entire external world, which we cannot objectify, that's not Brahman now, because it is any of these five only will be external, the entire external world. Then can we take any internal experience as Brahman? That question will come, because just now we negated that the entire external experience cannot be Brahman. Now can we say internal experience can be Brahman? People talk about varieties of experiences in meditation. Like, for example, devas coming to them. They got this vision, that vision, varieties of lights coming, blue light, yellow light, all those things coming, rings coming. You know, people talk about all this, all kinds of mystic experiences. Can any one of them be Brahman? Will be the next question. They cannot be also, because they are all what? They are all arriving and departing. They come at some point in time, they go away. Whereas Brahman is defined as something which does not rise and end. So whatever you see outside is not Brahman. And whatever you see inside is not Brahman. And if I have negated everything inside and outside, then what our mind will tend to conclude? If the Brahman is neither outside nor inside, then the Brahman is not there at all. That's what we will say. That will be our conclusion. Then the teacher says, no, it is there. And that is the quiz. Neither outside, you are not inside also, then what is that? There is only one thing which is neither outside nor inside, and that is yourself. You are Brahman. So I, the experiencer of everything, am Brahman. It is never experienced. It is never objectified. It is ever the experiencer. Drigyeva natu drishyate. It is ever the seer, never the seen. It is ever the hearer, never the heard. It is ever the experiencer, never the experience. In short, I am Brahman. So it is available for owning up, never for objectification. It is available for owning up only. So nichaya, nichaya, having known in this manner, in which manner? As I am Brahman. So atma bhavena aparokshataya jnatva. Knowing this way, nichaya. So aparokshi kritya. Okay, then what will happen? Mrityu mukhat pramuchyate. Thereafterwards, you will be free from the grip of kala tattvam, grip of yama, mrityu, grip of yama, free from the jaws of death. Who is telling this? Yama Dharmaraja is telling this. If you gain self-knowledge, I will not be able to do anything to you. Yama Dharmaraja guarantees. If you gain self-knowledge, I can do nothing to you. In short, you will be Amarana Dharma Bhavati. You will become a person without Marana, Amarana. You will be immortal. So, Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya. So, then will I become immortal? Because, what have I understood now? I am immortal Brahman. That is very clear. And so, will I become immortal? Then what will the teacher say then? He has to resist getting angry, the teacher, and ask the student to continue and listen some more. Because if I have understood my nature as immortal, where is the question of becoming immortal? So that is what the teacher will point out. And so, mrityu mukhat pramuchyate. He will not be free from mortality because he was ever immortal. But he will be free from the notion that I am mortal. That is what the thing will happen. He will be free from the notion that I am mortal. Freedom is not free from, is not from mortality, but freedom is from the notion that I am mortal. So self-knowledge will give him that freedom from the notion that I am mortal. And that freedom from the notion is called Jivan Mukti. So the moment I realize that I am not mortal, I am immortal, that notion. Once that notion comes, that we call it Jivan Mukti. So, Mrityu Mukhat, from the mouth of Mrityu, Pramuchyate, Jivan Muktaha Bhavati. He becomes a Jivan Mukta. Mahataha Param, Mahat. Mahat means Hiranyagarbha, the Samashti intellect, the total intellect. This word has come before in Sloka number 11 also, we have seen it then at that. We have seen it. So before in Sloka 11, so Yama Dharmaraja is just restating the same word here also. Mantra number 16. Nachiketam upakhyanam mrityu proktam sanatanam uktva shrutva cha medhavi brahmaloke mahiyate. Sloka 16. Now the first chapter is going to be concluded. And so the Upanishad, it now comes. We have to imagine that Yamadharmaraja and Nachiketas have gone to perhaps the in a drama. They have gone to the green room, as Swamiji says, for a coffee break perhaps. And now the Upanishad comes and tells what will be the benefit of listening to the first chapter of Kathopanishad. Because we are concluding the first chapter now, the third valli of first chapter. He says, Nachiketam Upakhyanam. This is the story or dialogue, Nachiketam, entered into by or undertaken by Nachiketas, the disciple, and Mrityu Proktham, given by Yamadharmaraja, given out by Yamadharmaraja himself. This is the teaching which has been received by Nachiketas and given out by Mrityu or the Lord of Death, Yamadharmaraja. And what is the glory of this teaching? Sanatanam. Because we don't know how many millennia before it took place. Nobody knows. Because the Upanishad itself is quoting the story. So Upanishad is quoting the story means what? Before that it has been there for how long? Nobody knows. Upanishad itself came before several millions of years. So even though the story is very ancient, it is alive and kicking even now in the 21st century. So it is sanatanam. It is eternal. It has been there all the time. Uktva shrutva cha. The benefit is for the teacher and the student also. Uktva. Uktva means by imparting this teaching, the guru will get the benefit. By imparting the teaching, guru gets the benefit. And shrutva, by listening to the teaching, the sishya also gets the benefit. So both imparting and receiving. Medhavi, that intelligent person, that wise person, that discriminative person. Why he is a discriminative person? Because he chose to listen, most important. Many people don't even come to listen. So he chose to listen. So busy we are, no time to listen. We choose to spend time for this benefit. And what is the benefit? Brahmaloke mahiyate. There are two meanings for that. If the dialogue is a successful interaction, if the dialogue is a samvada, it's a dialogue between them, is successful, then the benefit is jnanam and moksha. If it's a good interaction, successful interaction, benefit is jnanam and moksha. And so Brahma Loke, Brahmani in Param Brahma, Mahiyate, he gets established and glorified in Param Brahma, that person. So if the dialogue has been successful, what is a successful dialogue? The student should grasp the teaching, the purpose of communication. Suppose the dialogue is not successful and the student could not grasp the teaching. Dialogue is not successful. Then also it does not matter. The student will get what? Krama Mukti. Because the time is not wasted. He will, instead of Jivan Mukti, he will get Krama Mukti. So one step superior to the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He will get Krama Mukti. And he will straight away, he will go to Brahmaloka and continue the classes there also in Brahmaloka. Brahmaji himself will taught him. And we start by a very superior teacher, that is Brahmaji himself, not by an ordinary human being perhaps. So Brahmani. So Brahmaji himself, he will teach. And so Brahmaloke Mahiyate. He goes to Brahmaloka, gets glorified there, gains knowledge there, and he will get moksha, Krama Mukti. That means moksha is definite. Sadhyo Muktihi va Krama Muktihi. So Krama Mukti vas Sadhyo Muktiha. It is one, either one of them is assured. And the idea is further repeated in the next verse we will read. Sloka 17. Ya imam paramam guhyam shravayet brahma sansidhi prayata shraddha kaleva tadanandaya kalpata iti. That is how it is concluded. So the palashruti that is continues, the benefit of this knowledge. So Upanishad is giving the palam. Remember, both the Nachiketas and Yamadharmaraja are in the green room now. That's what we said earlier. So they took a break. Upanishad came and recited this. And so Upanishad says, even the simple Parayanam of this chapter, one doesn't have to understand any meaning or anything, just a simple Parayanam of this chapter is highly beneficial. Even if a person does not know the meaning, just study it, does not matter. Simple Parayanam will give the benefit. And that is it here. Yaha imam paramam guhyam shravayet. Suppose a sadhaka, yaha, shravayet, reads out the first chapter, reading out loud for somebody also, that is also is fine. And what type of Upanishad it is? Paramam guhyam, supreme secret, because it is dealing with the supreme secret, namely Brahman. Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, if you remember the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Suppose a person reads out this, the supremely secret Kathopanishad, for whom? Brahma Samsiddhi, for those Astika people, for the Vaidika people who have a value for the Vedic words and Vedic wisdom, because only then they will sit and listen. If they have no value for this Vedic wisdom, nobody is going to sit and listen. So a Nastika who does not have a value for the Vedic mantra, and you know, who does not know the efficiency, the efficacy, that the Veda will bless me even by mere hearing. And that is why Veda Ghosha was kept in our tradition. In all the big festivals and all the other times also, they have just Veda Parayana, Veda Ghosha. Because just by listening to them, it benefits. And one Varna, the Brahmana Varna, had only the duty of only Veda Parayana. That is all that duty was. It is such highly glorified practice. And Veda has to be loudly chanted also, because according to Vedic tradition, the very Vedic words and vibrations will benefit everyone. That is why they say Giti Shigri Shirakampi Tata Likita Patakaha Anarthagyaha Alpakantascha Patakaha Adhamaha. The one who practices to learn Vedam, he should not recite it with Alpakanta. It should be loud and clear. He should be able, because it's Dharma Pramana. It should be recited loud and clear. That is how a person should do that. Because according to the Vedic tradition, the very Vedic words and vibrations will benefit everyone. Which requires faith, Shraddha. And therefore, chanting in front of anyone will not give full benefit. Brahma Samsiddhi, in an assembly of Brahmanas or Vaidikas who have faith in the efficacy of Veda mantras, in a cultured assembly, Shravayet. And not only the people should be cultured, how should he do the Parayanam also? Prayataha, with physical and mental purity. It cannot be just an academic exercise. With purity. Suppose such a person reads the Kathopanishad, Tatim Anantyaya Kalpate. That very Parayanam will give him Anantapalam. Anantapalam means immense palam, infinite palam, moksha palam. Anantya means infinite, limitless, which means moksha, anantya. Then what will be our next question? By merely reading the Upanishad, if I can get moksha, why should I attend the class perhaps? I can just sit and read. It will not give moksha directly. The very Parayana will purify the mind and develop an interest in knowing the meaning. You will try to read the translation. You may not be able to make head or tail out of it because it is so difficult. Then you will go to a guru. Everything will happen then. So Parayanam will give a paramparaya in due course. It will happen. It will lead one to Anantapalam, the infinite palam. So you can read it with a pure mind whenever you can. One can do that. Or the Upanishad gives an alternative also. Shraddha Kaleva. The Upanishadic Parayanam can be done in Shraddha ceremony, in the Brahma Samsiddhi, in the presence of Sri, you know, all the Brahmanas. It is done. If Kathopanishad is read, then that Parayanam will have extra prayojanam. Extra benefit will be there when it is done in Shraddha Kala also. So other days also it will have prayojanam, but during Shraddha Kala, it will give extra prayojanam, extra benefit. It is like doing japa during grahana and all, you know, solar eclipse, lunar eclipse. At that time, they tell you do so many gayatri and all, because the effect is supposed to be much more pronounced during those times. Extra benefit will be there. So during Shraddha time, reading will give Anantapalam. And that palam is repeated here. Tadan తదానంత్యాయ కల్పతే తతానంత్యాయ కల్పతే కల్పత ఇతి. రెపిటిషన్ ఈజ్ టు ఇండికేట్ ద ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ ది ఫస్ట్ చాప్టర్. దస్ విత్ ద ఫలశ్రుతి ది ఫస్ట్ చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ కఠోపనిషత్ ఎండ్స్. దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ సమ్ వే ఆఫ్ ఇన్ ది పొయెటిక్ వరల్డ్ దే అడాప్ట్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ థింగ్స్. ఐ రిమెంబర్ దో ఇన్ ఇన్ ది షేక్స్పీరియన్ డ్రామాస్ whenever a particular iambic couplet, whenever it comes, then the guy, those days, you know, the screens were all pulled for the stage mechanically. Somebody will do it. So when the iambic couplet comes, it is an indication for the guy who pulls the string to open the screen. He will pull it so that screen will open and or close, so that it will either announce the end of the, it will announce the end of the screen, end of this particular section or that particular that scene. So here also the repetition, it indicates the end of the first chapter. Now, before we go with the second chapter, let us briefly summarize the first chapter. So the first chapter consists of three sections, are called three vallis. We are familiar with the valli. In Taittiriya Upanishad itself, we had the Siksha valli, Brahmananda valli, Bhrigu valli, all those. So the gist of the first valli, and in this valli, the first nine mantras, the Upanishad presents a story. A Brahmana, Vajasravasa, performs a yaga called Vishwajit Yaga. This is the story I am just recapitulating for the benefit of those who have perhaps not attended right from the beginning, or just for us to refresh. And at the end of the yaga, he has to give all his possessions as dakshina. That is the nature of the yaga. So he was getting ready to give his cows as dakshina to the various priests. And at that time, his son Nachiketas, he interferes and asks the father, "Oh father, I am better than these miserable cows. Why don't you give me? And since you have to give all your possessions as dakshina, before you distribute these cows, you have to give me also as dakshina to someone." And he repeatedly asks this question to the father. And the father, in a moment of irritation, he said, "I am going to send you to Yamadharmaraja as dakshina." That's what father said. And the son Nachiketas takes these words seriously and goes to Swargaloka, the Yamaloka. We should not ask how he went and all that. This is the story part, preparing us for the teaching. That's what it is doing. Since Yamadharmaraja has gone out at that time when Nachiketas went there, Nachiketas was forced to stay outside because there were no male members in the house. So Nachiketas chooses to remain outside. And Yamadharmaraja comes back after 3 days. He feels extremely bad that a honorable guest, a brahmachari boy, was forced to remain outside for 3 days. So even without food, and so Yamadharmaraja immediately calls Nachiketas inside, does Pada Puja, etc. to him, and then Atithi Devo Bhava. You know, Yamadharmaraja knows it very well. So he is Atithi, and offers 3 boons to him, because he had remained outside for 3 days as a compensation perhaps. This much story. And we find in the first 9 mantras of the valli, all these things are all narrated. So whether story really happened or not, through the story, the Upanishad conveys some important values. We have to understand those values. Number one, Shraddha in the importance of the proper performance of rituals and giving proper dakshina itself, etc., is a value. So Nachiketas indirectly conveys that if you are doing a ritual, do it properly and give proper dakshina with sincerity. So Shraddha is value number one. That is thought. And the second value is, Nachiketas tells his father, "If you have promised to send me to Yamadharmaraja, you have to keep up your promise and allow me to go to Yamaloka. And once you give your word, you should not eat your own words." That is a value. And this is not a blind assertion, but it is born out of, so Vakya Paripalanam. That is, whatever words you give, Vakya Paripalanam is very, very important. Or Satyam. Another value is highlighted is Satyam. Shraddha, then Satyam. Then third value, Yamadharmaraja, in spite of his supreme position, a very important devata he is, when it comes to Atithi Puja, Yamadharmaraja respects Nachiketas even though he is a small boy. he worships him, indicating the value of Atithi Pujanam or Atithi Devo Bhava. That is the third value. So all these values are highlighted through the story part. We have to take only these values home, not the story itself. Then in the 10th and the 11th mantras, the first boon of Nachiketas is dealt with. Nachiketas asks for his father's peace of mind, because the father must be worried a lot of thing about Nachiketas. Because of all people he has gone to, all these things, you know, he has gone to Yamadharmaraja. So Nachiketas asks for peace of mind of the father, and Yamadharmaraja fulfills his request. And through the first boon, an important value is indicated, that is Pitru Devo Bhava. So Pitru Bhakti, respect for family, parents, etc. are highlighted through the first boon. Then from Shloka 12 to 19, the Upanishad deals with the second boon, in which Nachiketas he asks for a ritual for the benefit of the society, for humanity, through which ritual a person, whoever is desirous, can go to Swargaloka. That is the ritual. Not only that, by including Upasana or meditation, the ritual can be made even more efficacious, and a person may be able to reach even Brahmaloka. So that is another thing. So Swargaloka through ritual and Brahmaloka through ritual and Upasana. And what type of Upasana? It is Virat Upasana or Vishwarupa Upasana. And Yamadharmaraja teaches the ritual to Nachiketas, which ritual is called Nachiketa ritual. We have seen this name in honor of this brilliant student. Why he is brilliant? Because he heard the whole teaching and repeated back to Yamadharmaraja. So Grahanam and Dharanam, both Medha Shakti is supreme. So through the second boon, we get the Nachiketa karma plus the Virat Upasana both. After taking care of the family, Nachiketas was interested in the well-being of the society. He is not a selfish-minded boy. He does not ask for boon related to his own personal need, desire, wants and all that. He was worried about the family and society. Then alone he thinks of himself. So from mantra 12 to 19 is the second boon of upasana karma samuchaya. Then from 20 to 29 mantras, up to the end of the first section, we get the third boon of self-knowledge, as well as the preparatory qualifications. So through the third boon, Nachiketas asks for self-knowledge. And Yamadharmaraja wants to find out whether Nachiketas is prepared enough, whether he is a patram, he is an eligible person to receive this knowledge, which means Yamadharmaraja is prepared to give, because he happens to be a jnani. He is the one who is qualified to give. The only question is what? Whether Nachiketas is a satpatram, whether he is prepared. And so Yamadharmaraja gives a series of tests to examine Nachiketas. And we find Nachiketas successfully passes all these entrance examinations and proves that he is qualified for self-knowledge. And what are the qualifications highlighted through this section? The first one is what? Nachiketas clearly understands moksha is a better goal than anything else, than every other goal of life. Moksha is the better goal. And this is not a blind assertion, but it is born out of knowledge, that is artha, money, etc. are perishable. Kama, all sense pleasures are all perishable. And finally, even dharma, even punya is perishable. And so through dharma, artha and kama, a person may enjoy life for some time. But ultimately, all of them, they will leave a human being high and dry only, and more miserable than what he was before. That is the most important thing. And Nachiketas proves that this wisdom is firm in him, because Yamadharmaraja offers dharma, artha and kama, all of them, you know, free of cost. He wanted to give him just like that. He says, I will give you any amount of wealth, sense pleasures, punyam, all free I will give you. But only one condition, moksha you should not ask. Do not ask for moksha. What a temptation. The biggest temptation a person, especially a boy of that age. And we find Nachiketas without batting even the eyelid, without thinking even. Then and there he replies, I don't want any one of them. I don't want to think second time at all, and rejects all of them for the sake of self-knowledge. That is the superiority of Nachiketas. So Nachiketas reveals he has discrimination, he has dispassion or detachment with respect to dharma, artha and kama, and reveals that he is an intense mumukshu also. Desire for liberation is intense in him. Tivra mumukshutvam. So Atma Vidya Adhikarithvam or preparatory disciplines are all presented from mantras 20 to 29. So the story part and the three booms are presented in the first valli, and in this valli we can identify some verses or as important verses worth remembering. They are the 20th verse where Nachiketas asks for self-knowledge. Ayam prete vichikitsa manushye. Astityeke nayam astiti chayike. Yetad vidyam anusishtas tvayahum varanameva varastritiyaha. That is the tritiya. Varastritiyaha, that is the tritiya varam, that's a boon. So this doubt that arises, you know, consequent upon the death of a person, you know, some saying it exists and other people say it does not exist. That is a question. When somebody dies, some people say it exists, some people say it does not exist. I would know this under your instruction. Of all the bones, this one is the third bone I am interested to know. After death, the person really lives or not. The verse is important because that is the question or request for which the entire Kathopanishad has become. And the next important shloka is what is the 26th verse where Nachiketas reveals his maturity. Shravo bhava matyasya yadantakaitate sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaha api sarvam jivitam alpameva. What an assertion. Tavaiva bahastava prithpatpataha nitya gite. All your dance and geetam, whatever you are offering to me, keep them all to yourself. O yama, ephemeral are these, and they waste away the vigor of all the organs that a man has. I'm just reading the meaning. All life without exception is short. Let the vehicles be yours. Whatever you want to give me, the dances and music, they all be yours only. I don't need any of them. All artha, kama and the pleasures gained by them are all seemingly good. But ultimately, their side effects are worse than the advantages. So the consequences are worse than the advantages for all these kind of benefits. And the main consequence being, they are capable of producing as much sorrow as much as the happiness they give you initially. And they are capable of causing addiction, weakening the willpower of causing sorrow. And the 27th mantra also has a very beautiful, it's a beautiful mantra. Na vittena tarpaniyo manushyaha tasyamahe vinamadraksha chetvam jeep. Jivishyamam yavadi shishyasitvam varastume varaniyaha sayeva. Again, man is not to be satisfied with wealth. No one. Now that we have met you, I have seen you now, we shall get wealth. We shall live as long as you will rule. But the boon that is worth praying for me is not this alone. It's not this. Especially in the first time, is the billion or the trillion dollar line in which Nachiketas clearly says, no one will get contentment through wealth. Very loaded, very important statement. Instead of looking at others with less wealth, he will only look at those with higher wealth. This is what wealth will do. Money cannot give tripti. Very important statement. A mature head in a very young boy. So these three are important mantras, 20, 26 and 27. And with this, the first valli is concluded. And the second valli, here there are from mantras 1 to 13, we get some general observations also from the Upanishad itself. The dialogue and teaching are kept aside some general observations are made, which are all very, very important. The one first one is, the Upanishad talks about the glory of the Vedantic student. So coming to Vedanta itself requires tremendous amount of maturity. Everybody cannot come to Vedanta, because Artha, Kama and Dharma themselves will take our entire lifetime. So most of the people are busy running after Dharma. They are all Dharma, Artha and Kama. And so even finding time for Vedanta is almost impossible for many of these people. And generally the tendency will be what? After completing all these, we will come to Vedanta. Let me enjoy all the Artha, Kama, all those pleasures, and then come to Vedanta when I'm 80 or 90. We generally find that this permanently continues. And so it is procrastinated by everybody. It's a subject matter is Vedanta. That alone is procrastinated. So if a person has to keep aside all the Dharma, Artha, Kamas and choose Vedanta, the Upanishad says, or Yamaradamaraja says, that all Vedantic students can pat their backs on behalf of the Guru. I have chosen to attend the Vedanta classes. That's a big affair. So all people who want to sit in that, it's a big affair. This is Shishya Stutihi, the glorification of the Vedantic student. And the second point is greatness of the Vedantic teacher. He is talked about only later. Student is talked about first. Teacher is talking about next. The greatness of the teacher is his twofold qualities, Shrotriyatvam and Brahmanishtatvam. Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. Shrotriyatvam means what? The skill and the capacity to communicate this teaching, which cannot be ordinarily communicated, because Atma is the subject matter, which is not available readily for verbal description. Words will fail. Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha. That is what Taittiriya Upanishad said. So it is the most abstract and uncommunicable subject matter. And such a matter, if a guru communicates, indeed it is great. It's a great wonder. It is ascharyaha. Ascharyaha vakta. And what is the second glory of the teacher? A teacher can communicate this knowledge successfully only under one condition. The teacher wants to point out to the student that you are the infinite Atma. That's what he wants to communicate. So don't try to come across that infinite Atma elsewhere. Don't go in search of that infinite at all. What you are searching for is you, yourself. That is the teaching. Infinite Atma means what? Purnatvam. You are. Shanti, security, contentment, ananda, everything is yourself. That is the teaching. So never search outside for any of these things. They are within. This is the teaching. And if the teacher has to say that you are ananda swarupaha, what is the precondition for that? If teacher has to say to the student that you are ananda swarupaha, what should be the precondition? The teacher must have discovered the fact that I am ananda swarupaha as me. You should know that. And so one condition is Vedantic teaching is what? That the teacher must be one with what he is teaching. Unlike other sciences, what a teacher is teaching, when microbiology or any of those things, he is not a microbe. He may be teaching microbiology, but he is not a microbe. Thank God he is not. So in all other sciences, what he teaches and what he is are different. This is the most unique subject, wherein what he teaches and what he is, you know, that is one and the same. Brahmavit apnoti param. I am teaching Shanti, I must be embodiment of Shanti. I am teaching Purnatvam, I am embodiment of the Purnatvam. So such a guru is called Brahmanishtaha. So in Kandra Upanishad language, it is Ananya Guruho. Ananya prokte gatiratra nasti aniyanam hyatakyam anupramanat. That is what it says. So Ananya Guruho. So Brahmanishta Guru. The one who is Brahmanishtaha. So these are two glories as well as qualifications of the teacher. So Shishya has been glorified. Teacher has been glorified. And then the next observation is what? The Upanishad makes is the glorification or greatness of the teaching itself. The teaching itself is glorious. And what is that? This is not available for anyone of the regular means of knowledge, an unique knowledge which can never be derived through all the conventional methods of knowledge. like observation, instrumentation, reasoning, logic, all those things cannot reveal this knowledge. So this knowledge is apaurusheya vishayaha, not available for conventional methods of knowing. So pratyaksha, anumana, upamana, all these pramanas are useless to understand Brahman. And then how can the Brahman be known? The only method of knowing Brahman is Guru Shastra Upadesha. Ananya proktem gati ratra nasti. Very careful. Yamadharmaraja does not say practice meditation. He never says that. He does not prescribe meditation, intuition, etc. He does not, as a means of knowledge. Then what is the means of knowledge he gives? Guru Shishya Upadesha Shravana. That alone he has to, or Vedanta Shravanam alone is the means. This is the uniqueness of this teaching, and this is Vidya Prashamsa, the glory of this knowledge, this teaching. So Shishya Prashamsa, Guru Prashamsa, and Vidya Prashamsa, they are all the glorifications. And these are the three topics we find in Sloka 1 to 13. Then in the 14th mantra, the third boon of Atma Vidya is presented. Once again, in a very beautiful manner, it is said. And so this mantra is an extremely important mantra. What is that? Anyatra dharmat, anyatra dharmat, anyatra asmat, krita kritat, anyatra bhutacha bhavyacha, yattat pasyasi, tat vada. That is the shloka. Then from 15 to 17, mantras 15 to 17, the Upanishad talks about the Omkara Upasana as a method of preparing the mind. It's a preparing the mind. If the mind is not prepared, this is an aside, incidental point, or prasanga topic, that is Omkara Upasana for preparation of the mind. Then from the 18th mantra to the 25th mantra, till the end of the chapter, Yamadharmaraja gives the central teaching which Nachiketas asked for in the beginning. In fact, the 18 mantras alone, the real Kathopanishad begins actually. So just as the Bhagavad Gita begins from the second chapter, 11th shloka, similarly Kathopanishad begins from the second only, 18th mantra only. And in this important portion, Atma Swarupam, the nature of Atma, our real self, that is being brought out. And the important feature of Atma mentioned here is what? Six features are mentioned. One is Atma Nirvikara Chaitanyam. My real nature is changeless Chaitanyam. The physical body is not the real me, nor the mind. Even the intellect is not myself, because they are all what? They are all changing. Then what is the real me? The changeless Chaitanyam, which is inherent in the body-mind complex. This is my real nature. So, Nirvikara Chaitanyam Atma. That is the first teaching, first feature. And second one is Atma Akarta. Atma cannot do any karma. And actionless principle is Atma. So, Sanchita Karma, Agami Karma, Prarabdha Karma, all these really do not belong to me at all. And third thing is Atma Abhokta. Since karmas do not belong to me, karma palam also does not belong to me. Since I am not related to karma, I am called Akarta. Since I am not related to karma palam, I am called Abhokta. And the fourth point is Sarva Adhishtanam. This changeless Chaitanyam is not only in my body, but it is inherent in the entire creation. Like the water, which is inherent in all the oceans, waves, bubbles, and rivers, cloud, everything. Similarly, the changeless Chaitanyam is all pervading as the inner core of everything. Anoho aniyane mahato mahiyane. It is behind the smallest atom also, it is behind the biggest star also. This is called Sarva Adhishtanatvam. And the fifth point is Durvigneyatvam, not easily comprehensible, because consciousness appears differently in different contexts. Itself, it does not have any property, consciousness, but associated with the body mind, it appears to have property. And so it is of a confusing nature. So Saguna Nirguna Swarupam. So even though itself does not have a form, Atma, when it pervades the body, Chaitanyam also seems to have a form like the body. Swamiji actually gives the example of a lighthouse. where the three lights are going round and round. What is the truth? The three lights are not there. They are going round is also not there. There is only one motionless light, and around that there is a device which is rotating with three slits and three holes. When that device is rotating, it appears that there are three lights. Ekam appears as anekam, and achalam appears as chalam. Because of what? The proximity of the device. Similarly, Chaitanyam has two features. In the proximity of the body, it has one nature. Without the body, it has another nature. Therefore, it is confusing. Which one is intrinsic nature and which one is incidental nature? We are not able to find out. So it is incomprehensible. Sopadika nirupadika swarupatvat. It is incomprehensible. And the sixth point is desha kala atitam. The changeless consciousness is unlimited by, not conditioned by, time and space. Consciousness is not located in time and space, because time and space themselves arise out of consciousness and dissolve in consciousness. So it is desha kala atitam. So these are the six features that was highlighted. So just to summarize: nirvikaratvam, akartrutvam, abhoktrutvam, sarva adhishtanatvam, durvignayatvam, and desha kala atitatvam. With this, the second chapter, second valli, was concluded. And in this, we have got some very important mantras. The 14th mantra, where Nachiketas defines Atma is a brilliant, defines Atma in a very, very nice manner. The student himself defines Atma in a very beautiful way. Anyatra dharmat, anyatra dharmat. Then 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st slokas, they are all Atma Swarupa mantras revealing the nature of Atma. Now, when we come to the third valli, here the first two mantras, they happen to be an introductory mantra, in which all the jivatmas are presented as travelers in life. We have started our journey when, from beginningless time, we are going on and on and on, looking for some home, but we have not yet found our home. So this traveler jivatma is introduced in the first two mantras. Then from the third to the ninth mantra, the Upanishad gives the very well-known chariot imagery, the Ratha Kalpana. Extending the journey example, the chariot imagery is given, which is one of the most popular portions of Kathopanishad. And in this Ratha Kalpana, chariot imagery, the body is compared to a chariot, the sense organs to the horses, mind to the reins, intellect to the driver, and the jivatma to the traveler, and the sense objects of the world to the route or the roads through which we travel. These are all, they are the sense objects of the world. So these are the way, this is the kalpana. Through the chariot analogy, the Upanishad gives some very important preparatory disciplines. The chariot, the body, it must be healthy. Without a fit vehicle, the travel will not be successful. So arogyam, do not neglect your health. Second, the sense organs, the horses, they must be well directed. Sense control or dhamma, that is very important. And the senses are to be controlled, the mind must be handled properly, because mind is compared to the reins. So through the mind alone, the sense organs can be disciplined. And third one is, mind control is very important, shama. So sense control, dhamma, and mind control, shama. And fourth one is, driver must know both the destination and the route very clearly. Similarly, intellect must know what is the goal of life and what is the path that leads to that goal, viveka. That is the fourth discipline. And the fifth discipline is, the fifth and final one. All of them should function in harmony, in coordination. Integration is required. Teamwork is required. So individual help is not enough. Teamwork is required. This teamwork is called arjava. Technical term for this teamwork is called arjava. So once intellect decides, mind should cooperate, sense organs should cooperate. And if all these conditions are fulfilled, such a jivatma will very comfortably reach the destination, called moksha. So that is the Ratha Kalpana. This is the well-known chariot imagery example from mantras 3 to 9. Then from the 10th to the 15th mantra, the Upanishad talks about Jnana Yoga, which is the spiritual journey. It is not an internal, external physical journey, but it is in the form of knowledge, in the form of inquiry. Vichara Yatra it is. It is not a physical yatra, it's a Vichara Yatra. And in this portion, Yamadharmaraja beautifully presents Pancha Kosha Viveka, which is one of the methods of self-inquiry, in which I gradually withdraw my attention from the Annamaya, Pranamaya, to each of the koshas, Annamaya to Pranamaya, Pranamaya to Manomaya, Manomaya to Vijnanamaya to Anandamaya. And finally, I come to my very own nature, which is the witness, the consciousness of everything in creation. So, Jnana Yoga is pointed out along with the type of intellect required for this inquiry. So, what is the intellect required? Agriyam Sukshma Buddhi, Satya Buddhi, an intellect which is very sharp and which is very subtle. Because the object to be known happens to be the subject. It is not some other external object, it is the very subject. So, we should not tend to objectify. Our learning should make us to fall back onto ourselves. I should fall on my own self. So, Jnana Yoga is presented from mantras 10 to 15. And in the 16th and 17th mantra, this teaching, or at least the first phase of teaching, is completed with the Palashruti, talking about the benefit of attending Kathopanishad webinars perhaps. Twofold benefits are given. And what are the benefits here? If you gain knowledge by attending this particular series of webinars, or what we say class, immediate liberation is the benefit. If one can, not by just physically teaching, sitting in the class, but one should go through that thing. And if you do not gain knowledge, then the mere Shravana will give sufficient punya to take you to Brahmaloka for Krama Mukti. So minimum is Brahmaloka Phalam and maximum is Moksha. What a nice thing. So not only for listening, even for Parayanam, that is simple chanting of the three vallis, even without knowing the meaning, the benefit is there. And especially when the Parayanam is done during Shraddha Kala, at the time of, you know, Shraddhas and those ceremonies, in presence of the Shraddha Brahmanas, then this Punyam will give so much benefit. With this Palashruti, the third valli and the first chapter, they are completed. And in this third valli also, there are several important mantras, but we will refer to only four mantras here. The 10th and the 11th mantras to be read together. They are important because they present the Pancha Kosha Viveka. So they are important. In fact, this alone is elaborated in Taittiriya Upanishad, but here very briefly. Indriyebhyah parahirtham artyebhyascha paramanah manasastu parabuddhihi buddhehe atma mahan paraha. And two mantras, Pancha Kosha Viveka. Then the next important mantra is the 14th and the 15th mantras. 14th mantra is the popular Uttishtata Jagrata Prapyavara Nibodhata. That is a very popular mantra because it presents the entire spiritual sadhana, the whole range of sadhanas. And starting from Karma Yoga, one recognizes the problems of ignorance. Then you go to your guru, remove the problem of ignorance, and you get freedom. Uttishtata, Jagrata, Prapyavara Nibodhata, that is quoted often. So even in Ramakrishna Math, Vivekananda is saying, Uttishtata, Jagrata, arise, awake. These are all things very popular. And stop not until the goal is reached. That is not the exact translation actually, but this one. So Prapyavara Nibodhata means reach Guru and gain the knowledge. So arise, awake, and go to your Guru and gain knowledge. So 14th mantra is important because of that reason. And the 15th mantra is also a very significant mantra where the definition of Atma is given. Ashabdam, Asparsham, Arupam, Avyayam, Tatarasam, Nityam, Agandavate. A very beautiful definition which Shankaracharya quotes very often. So 10th, 11th, 14th and 15th are very important mantras of the third valli. With this, the first chapter of Kathopanishad is over. Now, we will enter into the next chapter from the next webinar. யோ வேதாதௌ ஸ்வர ப்ரோக்தோ வேதாந்தே ச ப்ரதிஷ்டிதஃ தஸ்ய ப்ரகிருதி லீனஸ்ய யஃ பரஸ்ஸ மகேஸ்வரஃ ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ணார்ப்பணமஸ்து.